As we bend our brains and curve our souls into the message this morning, would you bow with me as we simply open ourselves to God in our midst? Amen. This is a rock, and on this rock is painted a ladybug. And that ladybug was painted by Marge. Marge was one of the most amazing people. And as we go and as we end today, I want to tell you what was so amazing about Marge and why that matters to you. So in order to set this up so that we can get to the ladybug, let me tell you about when I was 16. I was 16 years old. I was a Boy Scout. We were doing a paper drive. We were short on pickups that day. And so we borrowed my math teacher's pickup, Mr. Busk, and Mr. Busk let me have that pickup, and I drove it, but on that route that morning, even though I was in my regular territory, even though I was in regular and known places, I ran his truck right smack into a telephone pole. There is just nothing that I hate more than the sound of metal crunching when it comes to getting cars. Oh, man. And on that day, I took out the left front fender, I took out the bumper, I took out the left headlight, and I bent the hood. There were no injuries. I mean, I ran into a telephone pole going all of like 7 miles an hour. You know, it was just stupidity. But that's the way things happen. And so I went to Mr. Busk's house and I knocked on the door and said, "I wrecked your pickup." And he laughed. He thought that I was joking until he saw the truck. And at that point, he was a man of deep compassion. He knew me and he knew how to work with me. And he said, "Look, you know what? It's just not that big a deal. I've got insurance. It'll be all taken care of." But my parents were of a different opinion. They said, "No, we know that he has insurance, but we know that he also has a deductible, and we know that you're going to be paying every penny of that." And I was perfectly fine with that. Now, I have no idea why it was such an odd number. The figure was $256.87. I have no idea where the 87 cents came from, but I do know that I worked and worked and worked to pay that off. That was a burden that I carried for months to come as I was earning the money to pay that off. Maybe burden isn't the right word, because it wasn't something that I was against doing at all. It wasn't a heavy burden that I was just forced to carry. I wanted to. So maybe the word that I'm going to use today is the word yoke. You know what a yoke is. A yoke is that wooden piece that is put over an oxen's or an ox's shoulders that helps them to pull the cart or pull the plow. And it is what enables them to move and work and go. I worked with that yoke of that debt on my shoulders until I was able to pay it off. And then I took the yoke off. We talk about yokes today. And Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke, for my yoke is easy." What is a yoke? The yoke that Jesus was talking about was not the piece of wood that was put on an ox's shoulders. The yoke that Jesus was talking about was not simply a metaphor that was talking about just troubles, you know, take up. No. There was a very specific meaning when Jesus said yoke. Jesus was a rabbi. When you were following a rabbi, you listened to the rabbi's teachings, you watched the rabbi's beliefs being lived out, and you absorbed those. Those beliefs, those actions became your beliefs and actions. This was referred to as a rabbi's yoke. When Jesus was saying, put this yoke upon you, he literally was saying, do what I do. Believe what I believe. And then he said, take up my yoke, for my yoke is easy. Easy compared to what? In the Jewish faith, there were, and still are, 613 commandments, laws, that you are supposed to be following. Can you imagine trying to follow all of those? It's impossible. Always has been, always will be. And so what Jesus was saying was, if you are following with that kind of a yoke, you just need to know that's impossible. Why don't you take up my yoke, my actions, my beliefs? So what was he saying then? Why would that be easy? Because so much of what Jesus was saying was all about what is the belief in the yoke that is your heart? What is it that is the heart of the nature, the heart of what you want to be, of who you want to be, of what you want to be believing and doing? So in effect, what Jesus was saying was, come to me, you who are really tired, those of you who are burdened and overworked, set it down and put my yoke on instead. My yoke is all about care, compassion. My yoke is all about living in harmony with others. And what he was saying was, if you do that, now life gets a whole lot easier. So I would like to think that when I was working to fix a pickup, that what I was doing was not just carrying Mr. Busk's yoke, not just carrying my parents' yoke, their expectations, but I was carrying Jesus' yoke also. And I was doing something out of gladness of heart that says, because this is a good thing to do and this makes it right, because this is a just way to live, now my burden is easier. And that certainly was my experience. All right, so now, we celebrate Independence Day this weekend, 244 years. That's how long our nation has been in existence. And I'm fascinated when I read these words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What is absolutely fascinating to me is that if you go in and do some of the research underneath that, what you discover was how incredibly difficult that document was to write so that everyone at the table would be willing to sign it. I mean, for instance, you know that the Declaration of Independence was written by Thomas Jefferson. And these words, all men are created equal. Isn't it fascinating that even Jefferson himself didn't actually believe that? He was a slave owner. One of the early compromises, as they were trying to figure out how do we count blacks and whites inside, is that in the earliest years of our nation, and for over a century, that those who were African American in our midst were counted as 3/5 of a person. Fascinating. So when I look at the Declaration of Independence, I don't see a document that was set in stone. What I see is a document that was written as a goal. This is who we want to be. This is who we as a nation strive to be. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that all are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This we believe, but we believe it not because we're there yet, but because we're working on it. We want to be there. So now let me ask you this. As you and I have been living as Americans in these past months, how are you? How are you? How are you emotionally? How are you mentally? How are you physically? Because the tolls of this time period are beginning to really show in our American culture. Pandemics, politics, and protests. Oh my gosh, we're surrounded by so much that is happening. And here's what I'm seeing when I say, how are you? How are you emotionally? Well, on the outside, we look pretty good, but inside, this is really grueling. And there's a lot of us who are just emotionally exhausted. Of course you are. Of course you're exhausted. We haven't lived through this before. And even when many of us can look outside our windows and say, it looks normal, it's not. And what we see is that there's a lot of pressure inside. And what we see is that for some people, the depression is really setting in. It looks normal, but it's not. How are you? How are you physically? And a lot of us are going to say, oh my gosh, I've lost weight. Oh no, I've gained weight. We've tried to figure out ways to exercise. We try to figure out ways to be. And it's very difficult. It just is. Of course you're struggling physically. Of course you are. We ask, all right, how are you mentally? How are you in your relationships? How are you financially? How are you? These are really difficult questions to answer. But what I want you to see in the asking of the question is that it's important to ask it because we're in process. We're not done yet. And this moment is going to be one of the formative moments in our life as a nation together. It's going to be one of the formative moments that years and decades and generations from now, we look back and say, ah, here's what happened. Here's what came out of that moment. We can't see it looking forward, but we sure will be able to see it looking backward. I want to suggest to you that in the same way that I carried a yoke when I was trying to fix a pickup, all of us are carrying a yoke as we are trying to fix our nation. All of us are trying to do this. How fascinating. When we look, one of the things that I noticed a while back is in the little bit that I'm able to decipher what's happening inside of the Russian publicity and journalism and the Chinese publicity and journalism is a lot of them are having a heyday with what is going on and the chaos that is happening inside of American culture right now. They would look at this and think, because they haven't experienced Wild West democracy, that our country is dissolving, that our country is being weakened. And in many ways, what I want to suggest is that we're actually being strengthened. If we had pandemic, politics, if we had all of the things that are happening, if we had the protests that were happening in Russia, that were happening in China, how would they be dealt with? They would be shut down right now. And instead, we're working through it. Politics and pandemics and protests. It's a mess, but we're working through it. And the key word in that sentence was we are working through it because we hold these rights to be self-evident. We are in this together. This is a yoke that we carry as a nation. A yoke that we need to not carry as a punishment, a yoke that we need to not carry as something that is horribly negative, as a yoke that says we can do better. We can be working together to make a better nation. And then I combine and weave my faith in that. And I hear these words that say, come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now take up my yoke because my yoke is easy. When I, as a Christian American, am putting on my yoke, I'm putting on a yoke that is for my nation, working for the things that are true in my faith. And that's an important combination. I'm working for the things that are true in my faith, and those things can make for us a better nation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. That's what we're working for. That is what we're working for. But let me ask you this. In our faith and in our patriotism, how do we expect that to be done? Do we simply expect someone else to do that? You know, it was in 1776 that Thomas Jefferson sat down and wrote, and in that year that all of those who were in legislature signed, do we expect them to do the work? The document has been created. Okay, now we don't have to do anything more. No, that's not how it works. You can't just sit on your laurels. You can't just wait for things to happen. Things happen when we get up and do the work. Do you pray for our nation? I hope so. Do we pray for each other? I hope so. We should be. But then the question is, do we simply wait for God to do it? Are we waiting for someone else? Wouldn't it be nice if we could? Because we're asking the question, how are you? And the answer is, exhausted. I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted in body and mind and soul, and I just wish we could get through this. Well, we're not going to be able to get through it until we keep working together. Until we get up from prayers and put our energy into work, until we get up from our polarization, the altar of polarization that so many of us bow to, and to say, I think we can overcome our differences to really and truly make something happen. Now, it's at this point that I remember the words that came from our epistle lesson this morning from Romans 7. The very things that I want to do, I try, but I just don't. And the things that I don't want to do, that's what I wind up doing. These were the words of Paul as he spoke and wrote to the Romans. And they are the words that we can speak each and every day, each and every one of us. We're trying, we're trying, we're trying, but it's just not working yet. You know what it takes? It takes simply starting where we're at. It means that we have to simply accept what doesn't seem to be acceptable. And it's only then that we can get to work. Listen to this again. Sometimes what it takes is that we have to accept what seems to be unacceptable so that we can begin our work. This is a rock. And on that rock is painted a ladybug. Marge painted this. Marge was one of the most wonderful, incredible women. And in her last years, I knew her up at the nursing home. At the age of 90, she had a stroke. All of her life, Marge had been this incredibly involved woman in her church, in her community, in her family, and in art. She had this amazing artist's heart. And when she suffered a stroke, it took out the control of her right side, and she was right-handed. And so I would go up and visit Marge and sit and talk with her as she was learning to claim her left hand. Marge painted this ladybug at the age of 91, left-handed. Let me tell you what the first step was that she had to do. She had to accept the fact that she had had a stroke and that that right side had been taken out and that that right side was not coming back. She never gained control of her right side again. She had to accept that which was unacceptable before she could begin. Oh, we live in a world that is racked with pandemic. We don't want to accept that, That's the way it is. We live in a world that is filled with politics that are just ugly. We don't want to accept that, but there it is. We live in a world where there are protests that we agree or don't agree with. And sometimes we just have to accept that and to say, wait, this is where we're at now. Where do we go from here? And Jesus said, when you are weary, come here. Now take my yoke, because my yoke is a better way to do it, an easier way. Now take my yoke. Marge took up the yoke of learning how to paint left-handed. And it was one of the most difficult things she ever did in her life. You and I have been called to difficult things in our lives, in our faith, in our lives. We have been called in so many ways, instructed, and it's not easy. And Jesus continues to say, come here. You who are weak and heavy laden, you who are weary, come rest. Now, take up my yoke. Take up my yoke. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do it this way. Welcome to this day and age. Welcome to an Independence Weekend. Welcome to a time and a place where we are learning how to do things in new ways, not because we want to, but because we have to. May it be that we accept what has been previously been unacceptable and simply realize that this is our beginning point. This is where we're at. And you're exhausted. Of course you are. I'm exhausted. Of course I am. We're all exhausted. Of course we are. But that's not the end. Know that Christ is walking with us each of the way, each step of the way, and saying, here's my yoke. Now do it this way. So my friends, may it be that you rest when you have to rest. I know you're exhausted. And may you take up Christ's yoke as we together build a nation. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I lift up our nation. And I lift up all our leadership. And I lift up our communities and our families and pray that in the midst of all of these, that you would be helping and guiding us. We ask it. We pray it. In Jesus' name, amen.